Let's pray and ask God to help us as we spend some time listening to His Word. Father, we want to hear You. We want to hear Your voice, O God. We want Your Spirit to speak to us, because Your Word is always alive. And Your Word is always active, Father. So help us, O Lord, to give ourselves to You as we hear Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you realize, I think the past few weeks we have been looking at a series called Phasing, right? And many a times I think we have been looking at, you know, how do I cross the Red Sea? In other words, I think we were looking at, you know, horizontal issues that we face in lives. Issues like fear, right? Difficult circumstances in our lives. So very horizontal issues when we are sad, when we are lonely, you know. The Bible speaks a lot about it, you know. But today I thought, you know, it would be good for us to look at vertical issues. In other words, you know, yes, we have everyday issues that we face and we need God's help. We want the Word of God to teach us, you know, what and how we should be handling. What happens when I have an issue with God? In other words, you know, I have an issue with God and about whether is God's real kind of an issue, right? Many times have you realized, you know, in our faith, what happens, I think, we start our faith, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the triune God, He's the only God, He's the Savior and Lord of our lives. But then happens, you know, along the way, many times I've read people's life, great people who have even questioned their salvation. Am I saved? Is Christ really the Lord of my life? Right? Do I still have the pulse of the Holy Spirit in me? Do I have the Spirit of God in me? Or is He left? Or is Christianity true? Is religion true? You know, sometimes we not only struggle with issues in life, but sometimes there are moments in our life where we struggle about God. Is God real? Because we live in a world, we want tangible things. We want to touch, we want to feel, we want to see. That's the kind of a world that we live in. And so we are influenced by this world. But what happens, I think, when we have challenges to our faith, right? And I know some of us, you know, we don't want to come to that situation in our life. You know, Pastor Vincent, I don't want to be a person questioning God, right? In other words, questioning whether He is really there. He is hearing, is Jesus the true God? Am I really saved? Am I really forgiven? You know, is heaven for real kind of a thing? Is it real? Sometimes we feel, you know, we want to grow in our spiritual life. We want to be matured people so that, you know, I can go beyond all these things. That there will be no doubts in my life, no questions in my life. You know, I want to be spiritually matured. I want to be just growing. Wesley uses the word spiritual perfection. I want to be perfect so that I don't have these kinds of doubts in me, these kinds of questions in me. But let me tell you, my friend, you know, there are great people in the world who had faced or even questioned their salvation. The passage that we are going to hear today, it's a passage about this great person, right? I think all of us know John the Baptist. We have read about him, we have studied about him. And if you read at the later part of the verse, if you turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 21, Jesus speaks about him, right? Jesus says in verse 11, "Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." Can you imagine? Jesus said about John the Baptist. Can you imagine? Jesus said, you know, the greatest person is John the Baptist. Right? Today, we talk about who's the greatest preacher, who's the greatest teacher, who's the greatest theologian. But according to the eyes of Christ, according to the words of Jesus, you know, the greatest prophet, the greatest person, right, is John the Baptist. Can you imagine? That was the way Jesus saw him. Probably Jesus knew his faith. He gave his life for Christ altogether. And you know, Jesus said this word even after John questioned him, right? In verse 11. But in verse 2 and verse 1, John is sending his disciples by asking, are you the one, right, who is to come, or should we expect someone else, or should we wait for another? Can you imagine, you know, Jesus, even after hearing this, should have said, you know, I'm done with this man, John the Baptist. Right? He's looks like he's denying my faith, kind of a thing. But Jesus commends him by saying, he's the greatest man, the greatest prophet. Because I think Jesus knows the faith of John. When I look at this particular passage, I realize it's not that, you know, John is questioning certain things, but I think he wanted more affirmation. It's not, you know, I want to be affirmed. Lord, I know that you're true, but I need some kind of affirmation in my life, because I've been preaching about you, I've been teaching about you, I've been instructing about you, but Lord, I want some kind of affirmation. I've heard about you. Right? I need. And so I think Jesus knew the struggle that John was going through in his faith. Not that, you know, John has actually given up his faith. But let me tell you, we can also give up our faith. You know, we can go through a moment that is a spiritual decline in our lives, that we begin to lose our faith. I thought it would be good for us, you know, to just to look at this man, John the Baptist, and to see. Because if this man was struggling, let me tell you, you and I can struggle. There can be a point in our life we can struggle about our salvation. We can struggle about our faith. We can even struggle, because the more we read today about science and technology, we can even ask the existence of God. Is God real? Right? Because we live in a world and time where nothing is true. Nothing is absolute, right? That's the kind of world that we live in, and the kind of world that we have been exposed to. When I looked at John, I realized, you know, we can fall into this trap. The first thing I realized, I think the pathway to spiritual decline is discouragement. I think John was discouraged, right? I was asking myself, you know, why this man is discouraged? Because when I look at his word, I was looking at the word very carefully. He is asking Jesus, are you the one, or should we wait for another? I was looking at this word very carefully to find out, you know, and I realized, you know, there was a lot of discouragement in this particular word, according to scholars, right? John is sending his disciples because he is discouraged. Are you the one? Because if you are the one, it will be different. I will not be here. If you are the appointed one, if you are the deliverer, you know, I won't be here. And that's what John is trying to say. You know, one of the ways, you know, we face discouragement because there's been changing situations in our life. What's happening? John had been freely preaching the word of God, right? He had been just going around preaching God's word. He had been dealing on social issues, everything, you know, moral issues. He had been just a brave, powerful speaker. But what's happening? He's the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, you know, things has began to change in his life for the worse, right? He's in Herod's prison. He's been prisoned. And probably that's going to be the end of his life. Can you imagine? You know, sometimes what happens, I think, when things around our lives begins to change, right? When we are challenged, when our faith has been challenged, right? Or if our fear, our lives have been challenged, what happens, I think, right, it starts with discouragement. We become discouraged. And that's why I think the words of John says very clearly, are you the one? And it looks like we need to wait for another person to come. The Greek text means another Messiah to come. That's the way John is saying. So I think, you know, John Stott, the great writer, the late John Stott of United Kingdom, right, a theologian, an Anglican priest too, he said the chief occupational hazards are depression and discouragement. Right? The Christian's chief occupation hazards are discouragement and also depression. It starts with discouragement, because when things begins to change, when situations begins to change, we find difficult to accept, right? Secondly, what was happening? Why the discouragement? I think I was reading very carefully and I realized Jesus was around the particular place where John was in prison. In other words, Jesus was not far away. He was around there. And so there's no excuse for Jesus to avoid John, right? Jesus could have easily, you know, got some kind of permission and visited John in the prison. Can you imagine? Jesus is around there in Markham, and I'm in Scarborough. He could have just come. It's 20 minutes drive, and come and see me and say, hey, what's happening, brother? Let me pray for you. Let me encourage you. Can you imagine? But Jesus is silent. And that was the reason, one of the reasons for John's discouragement. You know, probably John was expecting, you know, if you are the Messiah and you know I'm the foreigner, you will come for me. Because I'm in great need, I'm in prison. And this is not the life I'm supposed to live. But what's happening? Jesus is silent. John expected something different. He wanted Jesus to come, to comfort him, to pray for him, so that he can feel the presence of Christ. He can hear the words of encouragement of Jesus. I realized there was another passage, right? We also hear when the disciples in John, in Mark chapter 4, when they were in the boat, what was happening? Teacher, right, don't you care for us? Come on. You know, we are struggling. We are going to die. We are going to be about to die. You know, teacher, are you not bothered about what's happening in our lives? You are so silent, as if you're not there. Let me tell you, my friend, there will be moments in our life we feel that Christ is not saying, and I don't touch him, I can't feel his presence. But let me tell you, Jesus was fully aware of what was happening in the life of John. Right? So discouragement comes. I've said in my past sermons, I think silence does not mean the absence of Christ in our life. Right? He knows, but he wants to be silent. So discouragement comes in. I think we need to be careful, because I think it starts by discouragement. The first thing, we feel discouraged with God because this is not what I want. And this is what I expected, but it's not happening. I don't see you. I don't feel you. I don't touch you. I am not experiencing you. And what's happening? Secondly, what happens? I think from discouragement, we need to be careful, because discouragement can lead to doubt. John is saying, right? He says, are you the one, or should we wait for another? Not only there is discouragement in this particular phrase, but he is saying, should we be waiting for another Messiah to come and to save us? What's happening? You know, there's some kind of doubt that's happening in John's life. He's just questioning whether, are you the one, right? Because why? You know, I was asking myself, why is John doubting? Because if you realize, you know, look at his sermons. He was the one who preached. He said, you know, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, of God, is at hand, right? Repent now, because God's kingdom is coming. If you look at John's message, he was talking about the judgment of God. You know, he was talking about social issues of those days. He was saying, you know, God's judgment is here. It's going to come right now. That was the way John was preaching. Very fiery sermons he was giving. In Matthew chapter 3, you talk about, you know, the spirit and fire. He talks about the judgment to come, and that was John. Right? Very fiery. It was something like Jonah, right? God is going to destroy you in 40 days. And John was speaking like that. But what was happening, right? His expectations of Christ was different, that Jesus would come, right? He will baptize John. Remember, John said, you know, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with fire. So he was talking about, you know, the judgment of God. It's, if the Messiah comes, he's going to judge you right now. But Jesus' message, or Christ's message, was totally different, right? he was talking about the salvation of God. He was talking about, right, the kingdom of God, that God loves each and every one of us, that God wants us to be part of God's kingdom. John wanted it now. Yes, God will judge us, but not now, John. It's not now. I need to save my people. I need to reach out to my people. Judgment will come someday, but it will come. But John expected a different Messiah. Like if you look at it, I think one of the reasons, I think if you read Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses speaks about it, right? So John was thinking about the way Moses, the prophet, was thinking about that the Messiah will come and judgment will come. And that was the expectations of the Jews. They were waiting for a Messiah to come to deliver them from the Roman rule. And so John preached and he says, judgment is here, it's coming. And Jesus is speaking about love, about grace, about forgiveness, about the kingdom of God. Right? He was visiting the poor. He was just making friends with the tax collectors. He was just mingling with the sinners. It was a message of love, but judgment will come later. You know, many times I think we expect Christ in our terms, right? We expect Christ to do this now, on our terms, this way. That's what I expect Christ to do. But God does it differently. Yes, He will save us. Maybe not now from our difficulties, but He will save us when we are with Him. Maybe God is not going to heal us now, my friend. Right? But when we are with Him, there is no sickness, there is no pain, there is no tears. We expect Christ to do now and then because we live in a world where it's instant, we want now, right? Yes, the Lord is able to do and the Lord does things, but at the same time, I think the Lord can also do things according to His time and His purposes. Be careful, because what happens, I think, you know, if doubt is not addressed well, right? Doubt is not bad, right? Doubt is not bad. Probably you're stretching your faith, kind of a thing. Some people said, doubt is not unbelief. Doubt is natural within faith. It comes about because our human weakness and fragility, right? In other words, actually, it's something like, yeah, doubt. It's, you know, you're stretching. You're asking questions, right? You are going into areas where you have not dwelt upon. Paul Tillich, a German scholar, great German scholar, said doubt is not the opposite of faith. It is one element of faith. Right? You're stretching your faith. You want to see, experience God. You want to hear God. You want to see, you know, God in your life. But if doubt is not dealt well, the danger is, my friend, I think it can lead us to disbelief. Which is the danger one, right? It can lead us to disbelief. I would encourage you, don't invest on your doubt. Don't invest on your doubt, because if you invest your doubt, it's something like, you know, I like balloons, right? Every time I blow a balloon, this is what I do. I blow a bit and I stretch it. Then I blow it again, becomes big. Right, and so, can you imagine if I don't do it rightly? You know, sometimes, so when I blow it and I stretch it, the balloon will be much more bigger. But if I don't do it, my friend, what happens? I think, you know, it can become a disbelief. In other words, I can actually lose my faith. Right? It says doubt is not unbelief, but it can become unbelief. Right? This great scholar, I think, also said, reminds us, doubt, if unchecked, can do great damage to our faith. It's like a virus that can spread and infect us and do great damage. We need to be careful, because if doubt is not dealt with, and I'm happy to read about John, because when John had this doubt, when he had this discouragement, what did he do? He sent his disciples. to the right person, to Jesus. He was not able to come, so he sent. I wanted to hear from him. And so you have doubt, I think one of the best way to is just coming to Jesus, right? And just speaking to him, sending your word, your prayer, your need to him, your questions to him. Because if it's not addressed, and if you invest more on doubt, you expand it, it will become disbelief. And that's why if you realize what has happened, I think in many Western churches, a lot of churches are becoming empty because people, sometimes we feel discouragement. We have discouragement in our life, and it leads to doubt. And if it's not addressed, it becomes disbelief, and people leave the faith. I've seen in my own eyes when I was in school, some of my friends, they come, right, very passionate about serving the Lord. By the time they are done with school, one of my friends, he left the faith, right? A few of them almost like denied the faith kind of a thing, joined to other isms. And it's what has happened. I think they came with questions. They expanded their questions rather than asking God to help them. And so Jesus is a great teacher. Let me tell you, Jesus is teaching John. And this is what Jesus is saying, to John. He says in verse 4, he says, go back and report to John what you hear and see, right? Just go and tell him what you hear and see. I was looking at this very, very carefully. Jesus did not say, go back and tell John, don't worry, I'm coming back, John. I'm going to come and see you, and I'm going to talk to the authorities. You'll be released. Don't worry, it's just, I'm just working things out. Nothing of that sort. Jesus says, just go and tell him what you hear. In other words, Jesus said, what do you hear? What he has said, in other words, what Jesus is saying, what he is teaching. So let John know that whatever John had been teaching, that's what Jesus had been teaching. John had been preaching about God's kingdom, and Jesus had been preaching about God's kingdom. John had been preaching about the Messiah, the Lamb of God, and Jesus is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. The teachings of Christ was not contrary to the Old Testament thoughts, my friend. It was in line. It was in line. It was a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies and all that. So whatever you have heard. So in other words, Jesus was saying, go back to the Word. That's why if you go to any church, right, they will say, read the Bible. I know in Sunday school, I don't know whether about our Sunday school, but I know when I was a Sunday school boy, they teach us this song. Read the Bible and pray every day if you want to grow. Read the Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read the Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. And kids will always, they start from here and they start growing. It's simple, my friend, going back to the Scriptures. Because in the Scriptures, we begin to see. And so it's important for us, to ask ourselves, how's my daily walk with God? How's my daily engagement with the Scriptures? Am I reading it to find out a verse that pleases me? Am I reading it to extend my faith, to encourage my faith, to find answers to my doubts, my difficulties? Whatever you have heard, just go and tell him, that's all. Nothing new. Nothing strange. Whatever you have heard me say, just go and tell him. And then he says, and what you see, right? And I like the word when Jesus used the words here. And what was happening, Jesus was healing. The tense in the Greek, it's very interesting tense here. It's not only the past, the present, because Jesus was also healing, right? It's not words, I've done and I'm doing things. You see God at work in many things, my friend, in the lives of people. Maybe it's not in your life. God is working differently in your life, but you hear testimonies. You hear testimonies in the church. You hear testimonies of your friends. Yes, the Lord is doing something, and the Lord is working in the lives of people. There are many people converted each and every day as I'm speaking with you throughout the world. Many are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you see, it's not past tense, but present. I'm also doing. Lives have been transformed. People have been healed. And lastly, you know, Jesus said what he has done, you know, and who Christ is. And he says, you know, I looked at the word very carefully. Jesus used the word, the blind receive sight, the lame walk. It's actually Jesus is referring to Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2, right? And 61 verse 1 and 2. In other words, Jesus is using the word here so that John will know that Jesus is the anointed one. That he is the Messiah and he's the only Messiah. And that's why he says, tell him, right, whatever you hear, my teaching. And he uses this word because John will know the prophecies of Isaiah. And then if you read Isaiah 61, and also Jesus confirms it, right, almost the same verse appears in Luke chapter 4. And so John can be clear that he is the Messiah. It's not just my teaching, but I'm the fulfillment. Because John was bothered about what people were saying about the Messiah in when Moses wrote in Deuteronomy. And so Jesus refers back and says, you know, I am the Messiah. Sometimes I feel, you know, it's just back to the basics. When you're in doubt, go back to the basics. Go back to the scriptures, my friend. Think about the things that God has done in your lives. That's why there's a great writer, right? Hymn writer wrote, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what God has done. Count your blessings. And who Christ is. He is the Messiah. He is the one. Right? Let me finish with this. I like the way Jesus ended. You know, Jesus could have said, you know, go back and tell him, you know, he has denied the faith. Nothing of that sort. Jesus knew the struggle of John the Baptist. He knew that he needed some kind of confirmation. He knew that John was in a stage of his life that he was struggling in his faith. Probably, you know, his faith was being tested out, my friend, even though he was a great man, he was the greatest person as according to Jesus. The Lord knows him, right? And the Lord still commends him by saying, you know, John is the greatest among all the apostles. Where are you today? Are you struggling in your faith? Are you struggling about your salvation? Do you still have doubts about God? But you trust God, but I still have some kind of struggle. I read the Bible, you know, sometimes I still have struggles whether this is truly inspired by God. Sometimes we struggle because, you know, we expect God to work in the way that we want, right? Let me tell you, it starts with discouragement. Discouragement leads us to doubt. And the more time we spend on doubt, if it's not addressed, it becomes disbelief. We will leave our faith. And many in the church today has left the faith, my friend. Because they have not addressed the doubts. And Jesus' way is simple. Go back to scriptures. Just count the blessings that God has done in your life and is continuing to do in your lives. Right? And always know that he is the fulfillment. He knows your faith. He doesn't condemn us. He loves us. He knows our struggle. Let's pray. I believe sometimes in our life we struggle, right? We struggle, am I really being forgiven by Jesus Christ? Am I truly being forgiven? Because Sometimes, you know, whatever I've done comes back to my mind. At times it haunts me. Am I truly forgiven? Is Christ? Yes, I know Jesus is the Savior, is the Messiah. But I want God to show Himself in a very tangible way. Sometimes we come in a moment in our life that we almost want to give up our faith. Because when we see someone without faith, without being a follower of Jesus Christ, the person's life is much more blessed in the worldly sense. And we ask ourselves, what is God trying to do? I thought He's a good God. He does all good things in my life. God wants us to go back to the basics, my friend. Don't invest much on doubt, because it can lead us to disbelief. We might deny our faith one day. Come back to Jesus. John did the ideal thing. He sent his disciples. And after that, he did not reply, because I think he knew very well that Jesus is the Messiah. Just come to him and tell him. Go back to scriptures. Read. Invest time in God's word. Count the blessings that God has given each and every day. Start your day by saying, Lord, I thank you for yesterday, and this is what you did, Lord. I just praise you. Father, we come into your presence, O God. We thank you for who you are. We realize, O God, there are moments in our life we struggle. We struggle within ourselves, O God. Help us, O Lord, to give ourselves to you, fall at our knees before your presence, O God. Help us, Lord, to be daily disciples of Jesus Christ. Help us to have a constant walk with you. That nothing, O God, will stop us from just engaging ourselves, reading your word. And help us, Lord, each and every day to count the many blessings that you have done in our lives and you are continuing to do our lives. Help us, Lord, not to lose focus. Help us to see Jesus as the only one, the only chosen one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.